My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about Shoal. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This got my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com.
So, Greg, your mic was live while you were singing along with
us. Was it really?
Just so
I
you
got
know,
a pretty good voice.
We like to put
a couple of jacked up wing nuts here in the Bob Inyart studios.
Some jacked up right wingers.
We should not
along.
Be allowed in here. I've had like half a Diet Coke, but seriously,
that's
I mean,
great.
We shouldn't be allowed in here.
No, no. This is too much fun.
Bob must really trust us.
He does. No, the fact is he's just too busy to understand what's happening, to understand what we've done in hijacking.
Well, that's probably
broadcast.
A good thing.
Bob is off. I'm Doug
important
McBurney.
Important work.
I'm joined in the studio by Greg Jackson.
It is I.
Professional talk show host. And Bob Inyart is on a mission.
Mission from God.
A mission
from God.
I mean,
he's literally doing all the bit, you know, the strategery.
The strategery that'll be necessary to secure victory.
You got to have a plan. You and I are both in sales, and we know when you prepare to plan, you plan to fail.
When you
fail
to prepare.
So Bob has enough wisdom to know that you don't do something like this all jacked up on Diet Coke at the last minute.
No,
you put in a detailed, thorough game plan that needs to be executed, and that's what Bob's doing. So people that might be listening to us that are wondering, how's this thing? You know, we got 28%, I think 25% last time around.
23%. How are we going to get 50%?
How are we going to get 51%? Right?
How are we going to do that?
And I think part of it starts out with a thorough game plan from the leader, who happens to be, for all intents and purposes, Bob Inyart. And I know Leslie Hanks, and there are other people that
Roberto
are part of that.
Roberto Garcia Jones, Leslie Hanks, right?
There's a number of them.
Yeah.
But Bob's doing that. And to keep Bob Inyart on the air, which we must do.
We must. And wait a minute
what
now.
What do we do?
Now, you've got to give Leslie her props, and you got to give Guave their props.
Haven't met Guave.
Bob is the visionary.
Bob is a visionary. He is a visionary.
And then Guave and Leslie are the two people willing to basically sacrifice their lives for a 2-year period in order to make sure
full time
that the issue that the electorate here in Colorado is confronted in November with the word of God in the ballot box. When they close that little
not curtain, a political issue. This is a God issue. Where do you stand?
Every voter
on the inalienable right to life. That's it. Do you support Jesus said either you're with me or was that George Bush in the rubble in 9/11?
George,
No.
He didn't
that was
quite get it right.
Either you're with me or you're against
me. You're against me. Right? That's right.
Mm-hmm. You're either with these babies and believe that they have a God-given right to their own lives or you don't.
That's right.
No middle of the road.
Right. So Gualberto Garcia Jones and Leslie Hanks are committed to confronting every voter. When they close that curtain, they're going to have to face a question relating directly to the destiny of their eternal soul.
So this has eternal consequences.
That's right. And so
you will have to give an accounting
right.
If you consider yourself to be a Christian. You will stand before the judgment throne, the judgment seat, the Bema seat, I believe it's referred to in the Bible, in the scriptures, to Almighty Jesus. And you're going to be asked if you're a pastor, if you're one of the, you're just a regular rank and file Christian, you are going to be asked, are you not?
Even if you're a plumber.
Even if you're a plumber.
That's right.
They qualify.
Amen, brother.
How did you vote?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to give an accounting.
That's right. And so what Leslie Hanks and Guabe and Bob are working on is a strategy and giving the people the tools, we the people who are compelled by the Spirit of God to enter into this battle, not that we want to. I mean, there's a number of other things I'd much rather do.
Golf.
Things that a sandy beach,
mm-hmm.
you know, a tumbler full of iced tea on a beach.
Maybe just playing with your kids in the backyard.
Maybe just taking the kids to the park. Maybe rolling a stroller around the block. There's a lot of things I'd much rather be doing. There's a lot of things that Leslie Hanks would much rather be doing, that Guabe Jones would much rather be doing. Keith Mason would much rather be doing other things.
Have to do it. Needs to be said.
Yeah. So Bob is off on a mission building the battlements of the personhood movements that we will use to storm the gates of hell in November.
Can I ask you a question?
Please do.
The question is this. We had on the show Coach Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah.
Many of you might have heard the very quiescent, the very reserved Coach Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah.
Who basically lost his congressional race because he said, hey, you evangelical Christians, you're the base of the Republican movement. You're the core. I'm going to represent you. I'm going to wear the cross hat. I'm going to stand up for the inalienable right to life. I'm going to say of this Kagan who's being nominated to the Supreme Court,
yeah.
No. Because why? Well, because she's an overt lesbian. She's a sexual deviant, and I'm not going to be afraid to say it. I mean, these are the things that Coach Dave was saying that he would say.
Yeah.
So
in Washington, he was going to say
in Washington,
things like that.
And yet he came in fifth place.
And
so that's and what he said was that the pastors didn't raise money for him.
Yeah.
They didn't advocate on his behalf. They didn't tell their flocks and their congregations over the past couple months that there's somebody that represents our worldview, what we believe in. I'm not saying that you have to vote for him, but I'm voting for him as the pastor of this church, and I would suggest that you do the same for the following reasons. Now, they're not legally, there's nothing inhibiting them from being able to do it, yet they didn't do it, which is what Coach Dave said to us yesterday on the phone. Yeah. So my question to you is, and he also said something that was a little, I have to admit, I was a little depressed. He didn't think that the pastors here in Colorado were going to step up to the plate in support of getting people behind, really taking ownership and partnering to make sure that Amendment 62, Personhood Amendment here
personhood.
In Colorado,
yeah.
becomes enshrined into law in November. He seemed to think that the vast majority of the pastors were not going to get involved in the fight. My question to you, Doug McBurney, is, can it be passed without the pastors? Can it be enshrined into law no matter what Bob Enyart and Leslie Hanks and Guave and all these people are doing with the strategery and putting the pieces of the puzzle into place? Can it become part of the law if Christians don't actually be doers of the word?
Short answer?
Yes.
No. It cannot. Yeah. I know you're never supposed to say that on radio. You're never
no,
supposed
we just
to
just want, I want to get
no.
your... I have
if
to admit,
pastors,
I agree with you.
If the pastors,
and it saddens me to say that.
You know, it was... There was a great effort made to contact every church in Colorado, even the Unitarians, even the United Methodists. We called them all.
Unitarians are the ones who have those like celebrate with the bumper stickers, right? Where you have like, or what is it? Cohabitate or
coexist?
Coexist.
Is and that they, Unitarian Universalist?
And it's got like the cross and the Jewish star and
the Muslim.
And the Muslim. Now, how are we supposed to coexist with Muslims when they want to kill anybody that's not a Muslim? That's
yeah.
my question, but that's beside
well,
the point.
Those are
I do want
radicals.
To ask that to anybody
yeah.
who has that bumper sticker on their car, and I thought that was like a Unitarian thing, but maybe not.
Can I tell you what my 8-year-old does? And please don't think any less of me. When she sees it, when she
is
sees,
this fit for? Is this like a family?
This is
topic?
Fit for
okay.
family radio. My 8-year-old daughter.
Yes.
We're driving along. She sees a Honda Element or a Subaru wagon with the coexist sticker.
Mm-hmm.
She makes the machine gun symbols with her fingers, and she goes,
the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Now she does it all in good fun, mind you.
Now, what do you think people think when they see your personhood, the picture of the baby sucking their thumb and the, you know, people have seen the bumper stickers and the personhood bumper stickers. We asked my son at church,
yeah,
what is that? And what did my son say?
He said it's a baby.
He said it's a baby.
I have a picture of a baby on the back.
Four and a half year old knows that that's a baby.
Of course.
It should be evident to,
yeah,
you know, and that's basically what we're voting on.
Should be obvious to a Supreme Court justice or an
candidate. Ironically enough, he didn't say, "Daddy, that's a blob of flesh."
No,
or tissue.
It's a mass of cells.
It's a baby, of course.
He didn't say
Daddy,
it was a zygote.
Looked at me like I was an alien from Mars. It's a baby, of course.
It's a baby, dummy. What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
right?
You know, four and a half.
What a
noses.
Dumb question. What
but,
is that?
But so what? Are you traveling around in your cars with the coexist with the people who think that, you know, even in their holy scriptures, it says slay all the Jews and the Christians, kill them if smite their blood. We're supposed to coexist?
No, they're not.
But that's the humanist mindset
that's
so pervaded our society, including the church.
Yeah.
Much of the church.
So let's talk about the church.
I digress.
You asked if the Personhood Amendment could pass.
Yes.
Without
that was the original question before I kind of got us off track.
And I told you, we called every church in Colorado. So I can honestly tell you there.
Every church.
At least someone in every church is aware of what's happening or has been made aware of it in the last 6 months.
They
all
know that personhood's going to be on the ballot.
They know.
It got the signatures.
It got the signatures. Yeah. It's gathered over 40,000 signatures in 15 days.
And so none of.
But if the churches don't follow through, well, first of all, let me say this. If those of us who are compelled by the Spirit of God to engage in this battle, if we don't follow through on what we started, it will not pass. We have to follow through by motivating individual people within the church to go vote. And to bring a friend. We need to find people who didn't vote before. Where are the people who didn't vote before that Coach was talking about? They're in the churches.
Mm.
They're in the churches that wouldn't let us in. So somehow there has to be a sea change in the attitude of the church.
But if the pastors aren't going to do it, is there some other way to motivate, to incentivize the rank and file churchgoers to get involved and to ensure its passage?
You know what? Funny you should mention
Maybe there's an end around. We go around the pastors.
That's exactly what Bob is working on. The battlements that I mentioned.
Well, I don't want to give away the whole strategy.
No, we can give it away. It's going to be a tool.
But we know as guys in sales that, you know, there's a gatekeeper, and if you can't get past the gatekeeper, you better find another way around. You're not going to feed your family.
That's right. You've got to get around the gatekeeper. So the end around is the same end around that's being used by other organizations, left, right, and other. And it's the internet. Everyone in a church, virtually every person has
access
to the internet.
MoveOn.org. I heard you and Bob talking about that.
Sure, everyone has access to the internet. What Bob is working on is a fairly brilliant, I must say, tool to empower individuals to impact communities for the truth of personhood. And it's not going to matter whether or not their pastor gets up and preaches on it. But I got to be honest with you, Greg. The one thing we've learned over the past 4 years here in Colorado is that if you want to wait around for the church and the pastors to stand up, well, you're going to be waiting around till the end.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
About hearing this now. So there's a strategy and a plan, which makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because, look, if the pastors aren't going to step up and do it, we shouldn't waste our breath complaining about it, although I believe we should make an appeal because I do believe that there's a remnant who will stand up.
Right. And the
if
remnant
they're confronted.
Needs,
but they need to be confronted.
Yeah.
We need to prick their conscience and to say, look, you have an obligation, a solemn obligation to Almighty God to stand up for those little babies in the womb. We have an opportunity to do it right now. And I fear for your soul if you don't.
Amen. What?
And right, and we have an obligation to do that. And I do believe that there will be a remnant that will step up to the plate. You know, if Jim Dobson or anybody, if he is listening to this show right now, I pray, Dr. Dobson, you have done so much so many great things in your lifetime, to stand up for the family, focusing on the family. What could be more important than those little babies in the room? Who are more susceptible parts of that family than those little babies in the womb? And what a legacy you could lead if you would champion. I'm not talking because we all know that you signed to get it on the ballot, but now, Dr. Dobson, with your new show, we know that Focus on the Family probably isn't going to do it with their new leadership, this Jim Daly guy who doesn't want to talk about any of these issues like abortion and homosexual marriage and all of those things. You know, the unimportant social issues that they can't be bothered with.
Right. Well, it's a small organization. You know, they can only do so much.
Can you imagine if Focus on the Family would have gotten on board early in the 2008 primary campaign and said, we're getting behind Alan Keyes or somebody, some authentic pro-life, pro-family conservative, instead of kind of waiting around idly to see where the chips were going to fall and then reneging on your promise and voting for somebody like John McCain and compromising your core values and beliefs, saying that Mitt Romney was a friend of the pro-family movement, all these things. And yet, Coach Dave, we talked about it with him yesterday. Imagine if Christians just had faith. Just walk like you have the creator of the universe spirit inside you. Imagine if you could actually just realize that when you got up in the morning, that nothing is going to stop you because you have God on your side. And imagine if Focus on the Family and J. Sekulow and Family Research Council and all of these pro-life groups would just stop compromising with the devil and say, we're going to take a stand for life. Imagine what could happen and let the chips fall where they may because we have the God of the universe on our side.
Yeah, you know where the chips fall when you do that? They fall in your favor. So,
and even if they don't, it doesn't matter because what's important is that, but they will. That's what the Bible shows time and time again.
We have in this nation, you said it, we have a remnant. And it's been proven time and time again in history that it only takes a small remnant to save the larger group. I mean, you remember the story of Noah.
That's right. Kept paring it down.
Noah was righteous in the eyes of God. And because of that, God saved not just Noah, but he preserved
the extended family.
He preserved eight lives through the flood. So just a small remnant could.
Gideon's army. God just kept paring it down.
We could preserve the nation.
That's right. So that he could be honored. So that he could be praised. So that there would be no doubt about it. I mean, look at the American Revolution. There's no way we should have beat the most powerful military of the time, right? Yeah. The British Navy was the most powerful fleet in the world. And yet a group of ragtag, you know, farmers, kind of guys like us,
yeah,
you know, I believe
working day guys.
Just working day schmoes with their bag lunches, brown bag
right.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
They defeated the most powerful. And if you read the history of it, at every single important turn in the war, in the Revolutionary War, I mean, with the fog coming over when Washington at the Potomac, all of these things that were supernatural, that's how God manifests his greatness, because it's all about him. But if we would only just realize that and have the faith the size of a mustard seed, imagine what he would do in our country. But instead, what do? We say, nope, we're going to take action. We're going to have to compromise on this, and because that's how it works. That's pragmatism. And then we're going to ask God to bless it. Well, let me tell you something. That's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Mm. God doesn't say, you figure it out how to do it on your own, using your own little pea brains, and then ask me to bless it. He says, no, you come to me. Because he says, a horse is made ready for battle, but victory rests with the Lord.
Amen.
And unless the people build it, the city, the people labor in vain. And that's all we're doing. We are laboring in vain
as
Christians.
Because we've taken our eyes off our first love, and I say I as the collective I. I'm talking about the Christian community in America, and I not to say I keep my eyes on God. Well, hopefully it's more than these other slacker loser pastors who won't, not to put too fine a point on it, but who won't get involved and who don't seem to be compelled by the Spirit. They don't seem to have that compulsion to elevate the gospel. And whether you start with the story of Noah or whether you talk about America's war for independence or any other number of historical touchstones, we know that when the body of Christ decides that we are going to follow God, we're going to honor him first.
Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move.
Amen. All right. I was going to start clapping.
Now, who was that?
But he will produce victories that.
Was that Cool in the Gang? No, but you're right. I'm sorry.
I didn't recognize that song.
Ain't no stopping us now. You're on the move. We got the producer writing messages right now.
I thought you were my same
age. No, that's 70 stuff.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
good.
For sure. I was going to know
but
that
listen,
song, right?
But you know what? You know, the thing is, Doug, you are so right. And, you know, I just want to make an appeal. I want to make an appeal to the pastors out there right now. Doug, I can't. It pains me that to know. I mean, right now, this is our civil war. If I know you don't want to talk about
abortion,
folks.
It's not our civil war yet.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is this issue is the issue, and no one wants to talk about it, and I know that, but this is the issue. Because
did you see this story?
How can pastors not be talking about this issue every single Sunday?
Deserves a mention every Sunday.
3,000 babies a day are dying, and you want to say, yeah, we got to feed the poor? Yep, we do. That's the feminine side of Christianity. But we need to incorporate and teach the masculine side.
Hey.
We need to teach that we have a solemn obligation as Christian men to save those little babies in the womb who are going to be killed in abortion clinics throughout the country. And if we can't do that, if pastors can't preach on that, then shame on you.
Hey,
shame on you, pastors.
Whoever said we needed to feed the poor?
Well, Jesus said that. In James.
Anyway, Jesus told us to love our neighbor.
That's right, to love our neighbor.
Speaking of feeding the poor, listen to this.
Are you saying that it's we shouldn't feed the poor?
Yeah, I'm not talking about entitlements. Have I told you what my eight-year-old daughter does when we
she eagle-eyes bumper stickers.
Besides that,
shoots them down.
When we get off of the freeway on a certain corner near our home, there are bum stations where the bums stand with their cardboard.
Now that's
signs.
Not politically correct. They're
all
homeless
right?
people.
But where the homeless people stand. So when we get off the
many of them are bums, though. They're able-bodied people who can work, and they choose not to. A 16-year-old person that's holding a sign when people are getting their heads chopped off in other countries, and you know you have kids ravishing for food in India out of the gutter, yeah. And these guys with their hats and their pants down.
They got their iPod and their cell phone.
You got to get a job.
Anyway, when we pull off the exit, she'll count 1 little, 2 little, 3 little bums, 4 little, 5 little, 6 little bums.
The apple indeed.
That's my 8-year-old daughter.
You got her trained up.
I didn't even teach her that song. But listen, I want to get to how much time? We're running out of time here.
Maybe she should be doing the show.
Listen to this. She probably will. Listen. In Georgia, Port Wentworth, Georgia, at the Port Wentworth Ed Young Senior Citizens Center near Savannah.
Yep. A lot of seniors there near Savannah.
Yeah, there are. So Senior Citizens, Inc. said last Friday that the meals they are contracted to the city to provide to the Senior Citizens Center are covered by federal money, so there needs to be a separation of church and state. So they told the old people at the retirement home, you cannot pray over this federally funded food.
Can't do it.
Separation of church
and state.
That's
right out of the Communist Manifesto.
So the Senior Citizens Center has acquiesced and said, we won't let our old people pray. Instead, they're allowing them to have a moment of silence. And isn't that what the liberals want? They don't want Christians to pray. They just want us to shut up.
And shame on the Christians for shutting up. The ACLU is a symptom of the problem. The problem is that Christians say, thanks for your opinion. We'll be engaging in civil disobedience right now and violating what you think is right, and we serve God, not
and
man.
And how about the church?
So we
stand
will pray
up.
Over it, and we'll pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah, and we'll stand up and we'll say, you know what? We'll take care of our own old people. Take back your government cheese. We're going to keep our religion. Thank you very much.
Speaking
about feeding the poor.
And that's exactly what should be happening, but it's not.
So this company, They said they have introduced the moment of silence in order to protect their federal funding. It's kind of like what's happening with
the
pastors.
Pretty soon we'll be doing that in church.
Well, they're already doing it in the church. They're observing silence on the biggest issues of the day.
Oh, the gag rule.
Silence on the biggest issues of the day.
Right.
The most evil politicians can't be derided. The righteous politicians can't be lifted up. And the most pressing issues of the day can't even be discussed.
Except if you're a Democrat and you go in churches all the time during the election season.
I'm talking about real churches where there are actual Christians.
Okay.
Real churches, not United Methodist churches in Washington, D.C.
Are you saying Barack Obama's church was not a real Christian church?
That's what I'm saying.
Pastor Jeremiah Wright, he sounded like he was like a direct descendant of Jesus.
I don't think so. Anyway, keep your government cheese. I'd rather stand up and talk about what's right, what's necessary, what's needed, what's important, what is impending that is going to kill your children,
keep your
destroy
Gouda.
Your families. Yeah, keep your cheese. I don't need it. But instead, our churches are reserving a moment of silence to protect their federal funding.
But the fault, now a lot of people would point their finger at the ACLU. And they would be up in arms at the ACLU. But the fact of the matter is that it's Christians who are submitting to these things. They're conceding a lie that there's a separation of church and state, which I jokingly said came from the Communist Manifesto. It actually does appear in the Constitution, as I say in my book, which, by the way, you get a free copy of.
Oh, a free copy of conservative comebacks to liberalize.
But you
got to
make
Jackson.
A donation.
Go to KGOV.com.
Or call.
1-800-8-369-278.
8 pause.
1-800-8-369-278.
1-800-8-N-YARD. Make a donation.
Make
keep
a donation.
Bob on the air. You get a free copy of the book. But as I point out in the book, Doug McBurney, there is no separation of church and state.
Well, there is
it was
some
a
mention,
term.
Right?
Chapter C is for church and state.
Chapter C.
Every chapter
oh,
is
like
alphabetized.
That.
A, that's abortion.
Nice.
B, Bill Clinton. C, church and state. D, Democrats. E, economics. So we got all of the issues covered. But the point I make about church and state is, and this is so important, pastors, you got to listen to this. You've been brainwashed by the liberals. Too many of you have gone to the public indoctrination camps, the Marxist madrasas. There is no separation of church and state. It was a term that Thomas Jefferson used in a letter to the Danbury Baptists in 1801, basically to explain to them that there was an impenetrable wall. He coined it a separation of church and state that barred the federal government from institutionalizing or establishing a federal religion, which is true. But he also said that there is a fundamental God-given right for any American to practice their own religion without any interference from the government. That means you're an American, pastor, and Christians are Americans too. That means no God, you can pray wherever you want, whenever you want, in Jesus' name. And the fact of the matter is, that's a God-given right, and shame on you if you concede a toxic liberal lie that is from the pits of hell that says that you can't pray or pray in Jesus' name.
But wait a minute. If they'll take away my cheese, what if I was to lose my
cheese? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because any law that is contrary to God's law is no law at all. It's not legal, like you pointed out, or Coach Dave pointed out yesterday. Killing babies will never be legal, no matter what man says, because it violates God's law. And God has given us the right to have the freedom, the liberty, to praise our Maker. Shame on us, Doug McBurney.
Yeah.
If we concede the lie from the pit of hell that we don't possess that right.
Well, Greg, you know, it seems to me that the liberals really want a separation of God and state. They don't want God to influence the state. Now,
because they know that he's the secret sauce.
Now, you're familiar with... I like that.
He's a secret sauce.
Do you mind if I steal that and use it?
From the American Revolution to the Civil War to the falling of the Cold War, he's been the secret sauce throughout American history.
Now, what happens to a person who is separated from God? What do we call that? It's called damnation.
Damnation.
Now, going to hell, I like to tell people that going to hell merely means you're going to be separated from God. You're not going to be where he is, and wherever he is not is hell.
It's a hellish existence.
So when the
that's
liberals,
why they say war is hell.
That's right. And when the liberals force us to separate the state from our God,
yes.
Our state goes to hell. The state has gone to hell in a handbasket.
And that's where we are, my friend.
And it's a problem of the church. Pastors, stand up. Go to KGOV.com, make a donation. You'll get a copy of Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies by Greg Jackson and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great Christian school.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.